This episode is brought to you by Doc Marty Mushrooms. Are you looking to boost your health and wellness? Well, we've got an incredible range of functional mushrooms for you created by Doc Marty. Whether you're looking to support your brain and nervous system or your immunity, sleep, gut health, and much more, go check out DocMarty.com. That's DocMarty.com. I've known Doc Marty for 30 years, and his absolute focus on getting these products to market has been inspirational, to say the least. That's Doc Marty Mushrooms, which focuses on the philosophy of prevention rather than cure, emphasizing the importance of incorporating these supplements into daily health routines to maintain and enhance well-being. So head to DocMarty.com and use the code EXPANSIVE20 for 20% off your first order. That's DocMarty.com, EXPANSIVE20. I always suggest that you build a system inside your life that allows you to do one thing. And the one thing is that what you need to share with your friends and family and colleagues and work everywhere you are is, what is my awareness? How quickly do I change it so I can start solving problems for the future? Those are the only question you need to be asking yourself. What is my awareness and how quickly do I change it? If I can do that on a systematic process, you start to live in a life that's much more fluid, that's much more engaging, that's much more collaborative, that's much more abundant in many ways. And this is a mix between understanding the idea of spirituality, but to actually ground this into a work of bringing more of what you want in your life, which is more money, which is more freedom, which is more friends, which is more health. Well, all these things we want, and we've kind of tabooed them or boo-booed them because we're kind of like this lentil eating, sandal wearing, Jesus bun Hessian kind of character thing. That's gone. That's like an old adage. This is science. This is now, science is proving it. And if you keep wanting science to prove things, is you're still too intellectual. You're not imaginative enough. You're not allowing that dream state to take you into this reality in more playful ways, more than anything else.
Hi and welcome to the Expansive Podcast. My name is Eric, and at the Expansive Podcast, we are all about expanding your business, expanding your minds, helping you to think through growth and change. And of course, we are fellow travelers on this journey with you. Before I introduce my co-host, a quick shout out to actually the top 10 countries in which the Expansive is most listened to. And this is in order. So number one, South Africa, the United States, United Kingdom, Canada, the UAE, Australia, Germany, Portugal, Netherlands, and last but not least, Namibia. So it is great to have all of you with us on this incredible journey. We never thought we'd reach right around the world and back. So thank you for tuning in and for spending your time with us. As always, and if you're new to this podcast, then you'll know that this is a duo session that we put together always. My co-pilot and co-host, Mr. John Sarney, authorist, future keynote speaker, coming us from Portugal. How's Portugal been, brother?
Oh, it's been fantastic. I love the Portuguese people. So chilled and warm and engaging, great food. And Portugal is just a great country. So love being here, and I've been traveling a little bit around the country. It's really great. And Joe, what a shout out to the 10 countries around the world listening to us. Who would have thought you'd become a radio show host? Is that what was part of your intentions when you grew up? I want to have a radio show when I'm older on the internet called a podcast. So here we are with a radio show. Never, ever was it part of any of our intentionality. And again, you know, I was in Dubai recently for a talk, and I had a lady come up to me and say, oh, we listen to you and Eric all the time. My husband and I debate what you guys talk about. And I was like, wow, this really does go to places that we have no idea. So welcome, everybody. Wonderful to have you. We are very excited. We have a great plan for you today. But as always, we always start off with a little bit of the expansive insights and what are the latest, greatest things that are going on in the world of tech that we need to be aware of so that we can be one step ahead of it.
So the very first expansive insight that I have on the list here is John Sarney turned older this past week.
Yes, that's a good insight. That's a good insight. I didn't see that on the prep sheet, Eric. I didn't see that on the prep sheet.
No, I added that in. Brother,
49.
Hold. Please feel free to. 49. There we go. Oh, so next year is the big 5-0 is next year. We'll have to have a very, very special episode for that. Yes.
I'll be in Japan for that one. Thank you.
Already? Like, how do you know? You mean you just
I've already
like,
planned my 50th. What I'm going to do is I'm going to do a hike in Japan called the Kumino Kudo, I think it's called. It's a 9-day hike in the bamboo forests. So that's what my moving into my 50s is going to be. It's like a ritual. I'm going to go on with some of my,
amazing.
It's going to be great.
I love that. Yeah. Before we get to that, happy 49 though. As always, thank you for being on this journey with us. Thank you for your generosity and always sharing your insights. And I think more than that, also just your willingness to assist. And to be there, and this is for, everyone who knows you knows that you have a heart for that. And of course, a heart for dogs. So from all of the listeners, from the team at The Expansive, happy birthday. We love you.
Thank you.
And it's great to be on this journey with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I love being on it with you. And look, I'm only helpful to people who are nice to dogs. So I don't know. I'm not broadly helpful.
That's true.
Yes, that is
I should have prefaced it.
But yes, thank you. It's wonderful to be here. I at the Africa Burn, when I was there, I spent one whole night by myself just going through a process of gratitude of what's happened in my life and where I am. And it makes me feel emotional because, walking around Portugal now and just getting off stage with Pepsi Europe and being on the pod with you and creating what we're creating and developing the other projects that I'm developing, it really is a dream come true. And one of my teachers, Bashar, who said many, many years ago, he said, post-2020, if you start to live a life based on love, you will live a life wilder than your wildest dreams. And it just feels surreal in many ways for all these amazing things happening. And I'm incredibly grateful. So thank you. Love you too. And great to be on the pod with you. Let's get stuck into the real insights.
Amazing. So, expansive insight number two for the week. So researchers have found a way to bind engineered skin tissue to the complex forms of humanoid robots. So distilled down, that means that they're making robots even scarier and even more human-like. But of course, it has many spillover effects. there's this kind of reality where we can all see which are robots and which are not. And it seems like we might get to a reality where we don't know if you're a robot. We'll have to have some way to figure it out. But the biggest knock-on effect of this is that they're using biological muscle tissue. And so, of course, this assists surgeons when they're preparing, they're getting to practice on these robots. And I think more than that, it's also helping for people that are, that have been through amputees and have to relearn how to use prostheses. All of this technology is feeding into the rehabilitation of that as well. So it's pretty incredible how technology, and also, by the way, they're blending two different verticals here, right? Like the robots, and then this whole industry around synthetic tissue, which is also biotech. Part of the
biotech
lab meat and all that kind of thing. So you're seeing a blending of these two industries, which I think is it's a bit scary, but it's also very exciting.
Well, look, I heard it described very well the other day. It said biology is moving from science to engineering. And it's moved. So, and what happens when you engineer something is you've broken it down to its basic parts and understand how to put it together in new building blocks. And what this biotech revolution is going to do is extend our lives. We're moving into something called longevity escape velocity, which is where technology will start to exponentially keep you older, alive at a healthier version of yourself, de-aging you in many ways. But then if you apply this to lab-grown meat, meaning that we don't have to harm any animals and still get protein, dense protein, and then you take it onto this level where you start to combine it with technology, creating humanoid robots that have got the senses, the idea of touch and feel. And this is just remarkable what's happening here and at the pace at which it's happening. And of course, the repercussions are surgeons practice better. But what about the robots becoming surgeons with skin on their hands so that they can actually also feel the sort of surgery that they're taking part of? But yeah, it's just an exceptional pace at which it's arriving. And it's very much aligned to our topic today about how robots and AI and the combination of them are becoming, I don't want to say like they are becoming more advanced than humans in humanoid versions. And that's really what we need to be thinking about and keeping an eye on.
So the final expansive insight for today's session is something that we obviously like, you know, it's near and dear to us. Researchers at the University of Michigan, in collaboration with Mexico's National Institute of Astrophysics, Optics and Electronics, are developing AI tools to interpret dog barks. And of course, what they're trying to do is they're trying to determine if there's playfulness or aggression in what they are saying. Because obviously, when they bark, they are communicating, but we just don't always understand what they're trying to say. So, and I say sometimes because Jaeger has different barks that I can clearly understand what he's trying to say to me. And, you know, he has his mannerisms. But how incredible to think that in a few years from now, we will understand what animals are saying. Can you imagine? And we've actually spoken about this in the pod before.
I don't even think it's in a few years. Yeah, because if you look up Earth Species Project, they've already spoken back to whales and they're far down the line. So I'm grateful that other people are also doing this, but Earth Species Project, I think, is on the forefront of this. And I always suggest everybody in my audience is to go and look up Earth Species Project because they're doing phenomenal things. And this is really going to humanize animals, understand and be empathetic towards them and really evolve our approach towards them. So I'm exceptionally excited for AI being used for this specifically, just to get us to understand. I mean, imagine how frustrated these animals are with us, telling us things and we're like just dumb to them, you know? Or if not dumb, yeah, even dismissive to them. So yeah, this is fantastic for us to see happening.
So what I'm really excited about when it comes to news articles and research like this isn't just the fact that we are talking about interpreting dog barks and being able to communicate to animals, but it's also for people to realize that artificial intelligence is so much more than ChatGPT. It's so much more than just the mainstream things that you're hearing about. And yes, there are always these concerns about, will AI, you know, what impact will it have in the terms of the work that we do? But the far-reaching impact of it is that as a society, we are going to go through so many changes. We're going to have access to so many interesting and cool things that we don't always take into consideration. We just think about the initial and immediate application of things like artificial intelligence, whereas this shows you that the potential for it is going to be limitless in applying ourselves to worlds that are almost foreign to us. So I'm super stoked, dude. Like, I think it's interesting news, but beyond that, the implications of it are so far-reaching, so it's great. All right, so today we are talking all about, two things, really. We're going to be talking about human brilliance, and also, if we have time, we'll get to letting go. So let's talk human brilliance. Do you want to kick us off?
I think letting go is a part of being a brilliant human. So I think that's a fantastic thing, and we must include it. And, you know, today's topic really was birthed around me researching a new talk that I've put together called AI Frontiers, which is really talking about generative AI and utilizing generative AI inside organizations. But as I started to do more and more research, I started to connect different stories and started to realize that the only salvation we have as human beings moving forward in the age of AI is to become brilliant. And what do I mean by brilliant? And let me just figure out what brilliant means. And then to go back and explain to you all the stories that have actually connected it to come to this solution or resolution. And, you know, for the longest time, I've been talking about the fact that we need to be following our genius, our curiosity, our talent, our brilliance. And this kind of falls on deaf ears because most people are in a bit of a panic when it comes to this much change. So to think about shifting who you are while you're panicking is a very difficult thing. But when I started to connect these like three or four stories, I started to realize it's actually the only way out. We actually don't have another option. So let me start off with some stats here. And before I give you some stats, in order to be brilliant, what does it actually mean? What it means in my world is that if we understand who we are as human beings, we are light beings. We are made up of light. In fact, the whole universe is made up of light. And some light is traveling much slower and much some light is traveling much faster. And the light that's traveling slower is density. We can touch it. So the table, the computer, and if you go down to the atoms inside all these products, these physical products, they're 99% empty. They're made up of empty space. And as Dr. Joe Dispenza likes to call it, empty space pregnant with potential of whatever you want it to be. And so we're living in a world of light. So let's firstly understand that. And that's just quantum science is showing us this. So in order to become brilliant, what does that mean? It means, how do you as a human being contain more light? That's what it is that how can you be more of yourself? In other words, how can you have more Eric energy inside Eric? And that light being that you are, the way you start to contain more light is you have to build a stronger container to contain the light, but you also need to stop the leaks that leak out your light. And so what happens when you start to contain a lot of light is you literally become brighter. And when you become brighter, you see further. And when you see further, you expand quicker. And so this is quite literally, you're a torch. And when the torch becomes brighter, you see further and expand further because you see more of. And that's literally it.
Yeah.
That's called being a higher vibration human. And when somebody says, geez, I went there and this person was just glowing, or they just had so much energy, all you're explaining is that they've been able to harness light. That's what it means to be a brilliant human, is how do you go about harnessing light? And what are your leaks? Your leaks are your addictions, your stresses, your worries. How do you contain light, heal your past, create more structure and boundaries of who you are, be more authentic to who you are? All of these things increase your vibrational stance, which make you a brighter human being, which make you see further and ultimately be seen by more people. Because that's also what happens, is when you're a brighter light, more people actually see you and are inspired and are rippled by your light itself. And a great analogy of us to understand this is that when you are this bright, you never lose light when you allow other people to also switch on around you. It's like a candle. If you had to take a candle and light a candle next to you, and that candle lights a candle next to it, now you get thousands of candles lit up, but nobody lost any light. And that's really what it means to be a brilliant human being. So why did I come to this conclusion that we have to become brilliant? Like, there's really just no other option. And some of the stats are this. So number one, right now, AI, ChatGPT 4.5, has got a IQ of 155. And that's the same as Elon Musk. And we can see that Elon Musk, just with an IQ of 155, is radically shifting the world around us at an incredible pace. Einstein had an IQ of 162. And just my IQ is low. I thought 155 plus 5 is 172. I'm 162, which is not. 155 up to 162 is 7. So 7 IQ points up, and you're even a bigger genius breaking down quantum science and understanding how the universe works. Now let's remember that AI is doubling on its intelligence every 5 to 6 months, which means that if we're sitting at 155 now, we're sitting at 300 plus in the next year, and then 600 plus in the next year after that, and then just keep moving. That means over the next sort of 3 to 4 years, you'll have 1,000 plus IQ set up within AI. Okay, so let's just understand. On average, a human being is an IQ of between 80 to 110. That's an average person. And so now you've got IQ sitting at thousands. Okay, so firstly, IQ. So let's bank that we can't compete IQ to IQ, which means that we have to start to understand what are the new skills we need to bring to the world. Any questions before I carry on?
No, good. Keep going.
So where we've been so far is we have been experiencing predictive AI, which is what ChatGPT really is. And what predictive AI does, it analyzes data, it forecasts based on that data, and it optimizes the way we see the world. That's exactly what ChatGPT does. It takes massive amounts of data, it can optimize it, analyze it, and forecast based on it. And it's been incredible because predictive AI has already changed so much of the way we think about the world and what we do in the world, how we write, how we express ourselves. So it's been incredible. But we're about to move into a new version of AI, which is generative AI, which is a vast step up from predictive AI. And what does generative AI do? It does three new things. It creates, it reasons, and it interacts. So not only is it analyzing and forecasting and optimizing the data that you've given it, now it's taking the data, it's creating it in music, in video, in writing, in anything that you want it to. It's able to reason with you. In other words, it's able to engage with you and reason in information. For example, if you say to it, please book a Uber for six of us, it will reason in itself to understand that you need an Uber XL to be sent to you. You don't need to explain it that. And then it can interact with you like a human being. So in other words, generative AI has got the left brain reasoning, the right brain creating, and now the ability to interact with us, which means that it's a version of human way of doing things, but with IQs of 1,000+. So you understand, generative AI, as it starts to kick in, it's human-like, but with massive levels of intelligence. Now, this is not where it stops, because what's coming next is regenerative AI. And what regenerative AI does, three new things. It doesn't just create, reason, and interact. It now adapts, evolves, and self-improves. So what does this mean is that the robots themselves will teach themselves and build more robots. And the AI will start to develop its own theories without us now giving it any more data. It's now taking its own learnings and understanding how to teach itself and build on itself. And this is where the robots start to make the robots, start to make the robots, start to make the robots. This is really where regen AI takes a leap way beyond us. And I was listening to Ray Kurzweil yesterday, who was the first person that really started to talk about the trajectory of exponentiality. And if you don't know who Ray Kurzweil is, he's written many books. Singularity is Near, which is become a futurist Bible in many ways. 86% of his predictions that he made in that book have coming true. He's got a new book coming out, and it's called Singularity is Nearer, which I thought was quite a cool title, which he's actually adopted. He's adapted his theory, and he reckons that generative AI is much closer than we ever expected it to be. Elon Musk reckons that it's 2 years away. So we are on the brink of having this level of intelligence that's not just generative, but regenerative, which means that it's keeping on evolving itself. Now, that's the second part of the story. Let me go to the third part of the story, and then we'll come back to what it means to be brilliant. In Tesla's latest shareholder meeting, Elon Musk gave a talk, and I absolutely loved it. I went and bought a whole lot of shares after listening to him talk, because the way he spoke about what Optimus is going to do, and this is why his $56 billion salary was approved, because of this master plan that he's got on the go. And we all have issues with Elon. You can have whatever issues you want with Elon. I have zero issues with him. He is a guy who's just truthful about what he's doing. And the way he's going about doing things is bucking the trend everywhere. So a lot of people have issues with him. But the truth is that he's changing fundamentally the way markets around the world are working, not just one market, multiple markets. And in fact, every single human on earth is going to be utilizing some of the products that he's created. Now, his master plan, and everybody's like, oh, Tesla's dead. The shares are down. EVs, nobody wants EVs because, you know, they don't have the electricity backup, blah, blah, whatever. He's not an EV business. He's an AI business. And what he's going to do when these Optimus robots arrive, which are now ready, he's going to upload all the data that he's been collecting with Tesla over the last, I don't know, however many, 10 years that he's been running this car company. He has petabytes of data that's going to go directly into the robots. The robots are going to immediately adapt to that level of intelligence. And then he's created a logistics system to build these robots, which nobody else really has, because that logistics system of having the right parts and the right materials to build the robots is in itself a huge job because it's never been done before. So he's had to create that. Plus with these cars, now he's also got the data, which means that now all of a sudden this Optimus robot is going to arrive into our worlds with skin that is like humans, with intelligence that is thousands of times stronger than ours, with the ability to reason, create, and act, plus to regenerate itself. Like we are about, I mean, I don't think anybody realizes what is about to happen. And so in our current format as human beings, we can't even compete. We just can't. At no point do I see us competing. And so if we think about what we've been as human beings for the last 100 years, is we have been intellectual beings where we have prized the way we think. And the way we think has brought us to this place. But the bigger power that we have within ourselves is the ability to actually access energy from the heart. And what they've now shown is that if you take cell for cell, the heart is more intelligent than the brain. And this is from a podcast. I was listening to a neuroscientist yesterday, and they were talking about the brain and the heart and the electrical magnets, the electrical fields and the magnetic fields created by the brain and the heart. And they were talking about how the heart, pound for pound or gram for gram, is vastly more intelligent than the brain. But what has happened to us is we've never evolved ourselves from the heart. We've evolved ourselves from the brain, from thinking. We've had to intellectualize everything. And if science doesn't prove it, it can't be real, which means that your imagination doesn't mean anything, which means that you haven't been allowed to actually fluidly create a reality that you want to because of the constructs of what science and logical, analytical, industrial revolution thinking has done to us. So actually, the system has capped our intelligence in many ways to keep us within the system so we can become cogs in the machine. What we have to start to do is access our energy through a very, very different portal. And when you start to access your energy very different through a different portal, you start to access a very different type of being that you are. And the more work I do on self-development, the more I start to realize that the real power is in the state of the heart. It's not in the state of the brain. And in fact, it's not that it's not in the state of the brain. It's a holistic approach that's required to have heart and brain to be holistically working with each other. So we can go into some of the points of what it means to become a brilliant human being. But I wanted to build the context of understanding that IQ, humanoid robots, data from Tesla, skin on robots, all of it is pointing for us to have an incredibly super intelligent, super powerful, super empathetic intelligence right next to us that almost looks just like us that we've created, which means that we have to evolve ourselves. We actually don't even have an option. If you don't have an option, you'll just become, exactly like them, which actually not even like them, below them, which is a terrible state to think about.
I actually have no questions. I like the way that you've set it up. I think the context is really powerful. And it's so difficult in some ways. Like even when I know, you know, that all of this is happening, it's still so difficult to think of what that future is going to look and feel like. And to know that there's going to be this presence in your house, which is an artificial intelligence, which is so smart, which in some ways feels very daunting and very intimidating and very scary also. Like, you remember that one movie where the AI becomes, you know, hyper-protective of this person, and like, I can't remember what the movie's name was, but then locks the person up, doesn't allow them to go outside because the probability of them getting killed or hit by a car, whatever, is too high. And so it activates this like protection mode. And so like, I guess all those sci-fi scenarios also start playing through your head. And, you know, it's like, it's the big unknown of what this is going to look like. But then there's this like tinge of like what sci-fi has brought to us and told us what this future might look like and how dystopian it might be. And then we kind of get, you know, a bit paranoid maybe about it in some ways. But I love the context and I love the setup.
Well, look, what we've got to realize, and I'm going to get a little bit, I don't know, we have to think about these things in different ways. You know, Terrence Howard, this guy who was on Joe Rogan talking about new table of elements, the new way to multiply, a new mathematics. And people always look at this information. Most people look at it and go, what a crock of shit. And the reason they do that is that it doesn't fit into the construct of their current understanding. And so what I want to say next might not fit into the construct of our understanding, but we also have to realize the construct of our understanding has to evolve. Because if it doesn't evolve, we'll still be agricultural beings, hunter-gatherers, working in factories, working in offices, and all of those things are evolved. Why? Because the construct of how we thought about things changed. Just a simple construct of not having to work a 9-to-5 to be able to be successful in your life. That is a huge construct that you and I have broken out of, that many people around the world can't break out of. All our clients working in corporates are in that 9-to-5 construct because that was the construct. So when Tim Ferriss brought out a book, The 4-Hour Workweek, was like, what? You can work 4 hours and live a life you want? This is crazy thinking. But here we are. Many people have done it. So we have to realize that we've already broken out of many constructs. And again, think about being gay 15, 20 years ago. It was such a big taboo. The construct changed. So then now it's okay. Like, so what? Who cares, actually? Keep moving. Like, do what you have to go and do. So we have to realize that the world we live in is a multitude of different experiences based on your frequency, vibration, and brilliance, level of brilliance. So the example I always use is, do you know any crack dealers, Eric?
I don't have any in my contact list at all.
You don't know? Yeah, your cell phone? Yeah. Yes. Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that. But are there crack dealers out there? Millions. And are there lots of there's lots of crack dealers. Oh, do you know any arms dealers? No. Do you know any human traffickers? No. Do you know, like, there's layers to our current society that we have no clue of and no access to in this reality that we are in, that we are walking past buildings and people and that are having a fantastically different experience to reality than we are. So when it comes to technology, it's exactly the same for me, is that currently, where we are in a world where you think AI is coming to eat you and destroy you and falsify you and vilify you and apocalyptic you, guess what? Reality gives you that opportunity to experience that. It just does, because reality in itself is neutral. It's giving you an opportunity to experience whatever version of it you want to experience. And so we have to elevate our awareness, consciousness, and become optimistic about our approach towards it, because it's in the approach of it that creates its result. It's not the result itself, it's the approach towards it. And so when we think about AI, we have to evolve our awareness towards it so that we can engage with it in this positive way. And look, very quickly, and I know this is becoming a long pod, but very, very quickly, to become a brilliant human being means one very clear thing, is to have an adaptable mind and an open heart. That's all it means. It means, are you able to adapt to new things and have an open heart of forgiveness, acceptance, and empathy? Those two equations allow you to naturally evolve upward into a spiral of light, brilliance, talent, engaging with your unique skill to be able to add value to the world. And that uniqueness, and I read something the other day, it said, love is not the strongest force in the world, in the universe, authenticity is. And I thought, that's so, like, it's a controversial statement, because everything's made of love, et cetera, but actually authenticity allows you to light yourself up to the brightest possible version of who you are. And in the state, you start to experience different versions of artificial intelligence. And so we have to realize, again, there is no solid reality. There is no one place that AI is going to be or not be. There are multitude, incredible vastness of experiences when it comes to this level of AI. And so our only option is to build a new construct of who we are as human beings, to show up more brilliant, to show up more unique. And when you start to follow that flow, I can't say, it's a system itself will take care of the result itself.
I love the formula. And I want you to quickly just give people like three things to do in terms of opening their heart, because I think we speak about adaptable mind on the pod a lot. Well, we speak about both a lot, actually, to be honest. But you know, you often look at a formula like this and you go, oh, but it's so simple. And surely it should be more complicated. Surely there should be more steps, more things I should be doing. And I actually love that you've made it so simplistic.
So look, I think firstly, we have to realize that we are made up of stories and memories. Our personalities are created by our past experiences. And what we have to do is first and foremost, just heal our past. And I use this quote from Alan Watts in my talk. It says, the knowledgeable man has to learn something new every day, but the wise man has to unlearn something new every day. It's in the unlearning and the healing of the past that creates a more fluid future. And we know this. And this is really what open-hearted means, is, are you open to new experiences and not defensive based on memories and triggers of your past? And the more you heal your memories and triggers of the past, the more your defensiveness relaxes and you start to have a more open heart towards what the future actually holds. And it sounds simple. It's not an easy process. I mean, you know, you've done some work around this and so have I, and it's not an easy process. So the first thing I would say is, heal your past. Two, develop future memories. and that are optimistic. And most of us have catastrophized our futures. And the example which really lands for me is if you've ever gone through a breakup or through a divorce, what you mourn are your future memories, the house you were going to have with each other, the kids you were going to have with each other, the holidays you were going to go on each other. And so we've got these future memories, but most people have catastrophized their future based on past trauma, which means that you're continuously in a loop of closed-heartedness and defensiveness. So healing your past and developing future memories that are optimistic allows you to be more fluid quite naturally. And the way you do those things is through any many modalities. You can go through meditation, magic mushroom ceremonies, having a reverse mentor, somebody younger than you, and explain to you what the hell's going on in the world, going through a process of systematically developing play rituals where you're able to play and have fun and relax and lighten up. And when you're able to do these things, what starts to happen is that your future becomes brighter, becomes more fluid. And in the state, start to elevate your awareness so that you can start to solve problems ahead of you that you couldn't have seen otherwise. And ultimately, it comes down to Einstein's quote that says, you cannot solve a problem from the same awareness that created it. And so in our current awareness, we need to be able to shift it to be able to solve for future issues and challenges. And our current awareness is stuck in old ways of thinking and sometimes even triggered by the amount of change that's around us.
Yeah, I love that, dude. Sure. Brilliant episode. I love the reframe as well, because you know, the moment you think of brilliant, you like the go-to really is to think about it from an intellectual point of view. But actually, when I sit back and reflect on it, you often say that someone is brilliant, and you're actually not talking about their smartness at all. You know, you often talk about a brilliant human being, and it actually doesn't refer to their cognitive abilities. It just refers to like who they are, like how you experience them. And so I love the reframe around that. And I love the luminosity of like, it's about you and how you shine versus like the things that you necessarily do. And so, and thank you also for that very simple way to go about it, adaptable minds and an open heart. Any closing thoughts from you before we wrap this episode?
I always suggest that you build a system inside your life that allows you to do one thing. And the one thing is that what you need to share with your friends and family and colleagues and work everywhere you are is, what is my awareness? How quickly do I change it so I can start solving problems for the future? Those are the only question you need to be asking yourself. What is my awareness and how quickly do I change it? If I can do that on a systematic process, you start to live in a life that's much more fluid, that's much more engaging, that's much more collaborative, that's much more abundant in many ways. And this is a mix between understanding the idea of spirituality, but to actually ground this into a work of bringing more of what you want in your life, which is more money, which is more freedom, which is more friends, which is more health. Well, all these things we want, and we've kind of tabooed them or boo-booed them because we're kind of like this lentil eating, sandal wearing, Jesus bun Hessian kind of character thing. That's gone. That's like an old adage. This is science. This is now, science is proving this. Dr. Joe Dispenza's work has just been printed in Nature magazine. That's like the highest science literature that you can get. And so science is catching up with mysticism. And if you keep wanting science to prove things, is you're still too intellectual. You're not imaginative enough. You're not allowing that dream state to take you into this reality in more playful ways more than anything else. And so yes,
that was great.
I have a lot to say on this topic.
So I think we'll get into letting go next week, and we'll let go of this episode for today. That was brilliant. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Yes.
And our quote for the week, which I think ties in very nicely with this, is that if you don't change your direction, you may end up exactly where you are going. And that is from Lao Tzu. To everyone tuning in from all over the world, thank you so much for joining us. As always, we are so honored to have you with us on this journey. And we do this because you tune in. If we had no listeners, we wouldn't be doing this. So we do this for you. We sit down and we report this. And we put the effort in because we care about the fact that you are spending your time with us. So thank you for that. If you feel so inclined, head over to iTunes or Spotify and leave us a review. We always love seeing feedback from the people that listen to the show. You're also welcome to tell us what you want to hear more of, which topics you want us to discuss, and also go check out our YouTube videos where we are trying to show you a bit more behind the scenes as well. So until next time, be expansive.
Ciao.